You know, there are some people today that believe that miracles no longer happen today, that when the last apostle died, that was it. When Jesus left, that was it, that miracles don't happen today. But we know, according to God's word, that God is still a miracle-working God, that he never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And if you need a miracle tonight, just reach out. Just reach out and let God minister to you, and you receive your miracle. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And in the last days, and we know we're in the last days, we're going to see more and more and more miracles, manifestations of God's glory. Not that any man should receive the glory or any church, but that the world will know, that the world will know that God is true to his word, and that, you know, all praise and glory and honor goes to him. You may be seated. We're gonna do something real fast. But tonight, I'm gonna teach on a subject that we've heard. In fact, we just heard this past Sunday. Wasn't that an awesome service? Awesome service. Awesome word. Awesome presence of God, awesome praise and worship. I mean, it's only going to get better and better. But as I was preparing for tonight, and I had some other stuff that I wanted to teach on, but I was listening to Pastor Sunday, God had quickened in me to minister on the word that I'm going to minister tonight. You know that we read in the Bible, and we know that, you know, Jesus was born, of course. We also know that we've been taught about his death, why he died on the cross. We've also been taught about his burial and his resurrection. And you know, we celebrate that Christmas, Resurrection Sunday, and sometimes throughout the year we do that. Well, without fully understanding the significance or the impact
that those events have, and still relevant today to the life of a believer. I taught on the message was Foundations for Victorious Christian Living, and this is actually part two of that. I didn't intend it to be a series, and this may or may not be the last, but what I'm going to talk about tonight, and the title of the message tonight is He is Risen. I'm going to talk a little bit about the resurrection and why the resurrection happened, why it's so powerful in the life of the believer. It's more than just coming on what we call Resurrection Sunday to celebrate that. That's one reason. But knowing the full depth and impact, what that means to me and you as modern-day believers. So we're going to cover that. And this is only touching the surface. I mean, there are college Bible courses on this entire subject. But tonight we're just going to touch on several points so that when you leave here, you have a better understanding of what the resurrection is and what it means to you as a believer living in today's world and what it means for your future. So if you turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, 1-6, we know this account. And it says, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And the angel... And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the woman, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. We all know the story that he is risen. Father, just thank you for this time, Lord, that we can gather in your word, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you allow this word to fall on good ground, Lord. That, Lord, it will begin to take deep root, Lord, and bring forth great fruit, Lord God, for the glory of your name. I I pray, Lord God, that you use me, speak through me, Lord God, to utter your truth, to love your word. Give us ears to your hearts to receive all that you desire to speak, Lord, tonight. And we give you all the praise and all the power and all the glory and all the dominion due unto your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I said before, we know that Christian living centers basically around Christ. And in the life of Christ, we know that there's his birth, which is very important. We also know, like I said, there's his death and what happened on his death. Also, his burial, which is very significant, and his resurrection. You need, as a believer, to understand the significance of all those events. And like I said, tonight, we're going to talk about the resurrection. Most of the modern-day believers only understand each of these events in limited context, and the church celebrates or recognizes each event on a very limited basis. Like I said, we celebrate his birth, Christmas. We celebrate his death and resurrection on Resurrection Sunday. But we don't fully understand the impact of what those events are. And tonight, like I said, we're gonna hopefully clear that up and give you more truth so that you can apply these truths to your life and live a victorious life as Jesus intended. Amid all the religious and ritual formalities, lay hidden treasures and foundational truths that are fully understood by every believer will produce a stronger, more vibrant, victorious church. For example, this is talking about his death. The significance of his death was that if you read in Matthew 27:51, we know that he was the ultimate sacrifice, the sacrificial lamb who paid the price for sin once and for all. When he died on the cross, at the point of his death, what happened was the veil, and I'm going to explain about the veil in the temple, was destroyed from top to bottom. Now, this is the significance of that. In the temple, there were three places. It was the outer court, the inner court, and the Holy of Holies. The Holy of Holies, separating the inner court and the Holy of Holies, was this veil. And the veil, if you go by ancient Jewish descriptions and the description of the temple, the veil served as a barrier between the holy place, the Holy of Holies, between the priests and God. And once a year, what happened, the priest would come, enter the veil, he was allowed to enter the veil, and make atonement for the sins of the nation of Israel. The veil by dimensions was at least 40 feet high, was at least 30 feet long, and was at least 4 inches thick. Now, there's significance in that. The veil was designed this way so that when the priest went in, he couldn't accidentally, you know, pull it down, or he couldn't accidentally fall in into the Holy of Holies, so that it would take more than the strength of one man to actually be able to push the veil. That's why they designed that, designed like that. So when Jesus died, what happened was the veil in the temple, that veil was rent or was cut in half from top to bottom. And the significance of that was that, first of all, no man, the priest couldn't have done it by himself. Or no man could have done it, ripped the veil from top to bottom. That it was a supernatural event that only God could have done. Now, the spiritual significance of that event by the veil being broken or destroyed was that allowed you and me, through the death of Jesus Christ, access to restore fellowship for us back to God. And it was the final atonement for sin, that no longer would we have to atone for our sin by giving sacrifices, that Jesus did it once and for all. And that opened the door to allow access from us to God. What it also did was it established a new covenant. Now, under the old covenant, there were laws and rituals that had to be followed in terms of worship, in terms of offering, in terms of feasts. There were very specific things that needed to be done. Now, imagine this. If we were still under the old covenant, when you come in Sunday and you have to give an offering, Under the old covenant, you would have to bring, you know, an animal sacrifice. Can you imagine what this would be like if everybody had to bring an animal sacrifice? Have a, you know, somebody bring a goat, somebody bring a cow, somebody bring a bird, and the whole area is lined up with animal sacrifices. Picture that. Now, picture also this, that pastors Herman and Carol, and maybe the elders, would have to once a year get the animal or the lamb and present it on an altar, sacrificing the lamb on an altar. You can imagine praise and worship, because in the olden days, in the Old Testament, offering animal sacrifices was a way of worshiping. Can imagine we having to do that every Sunday. But now we're under a new covenant where we don't have to do that anymore because of what Jesus did. So that's the significance of that, of his death. One of the significance of his death. Symbolically, the veil represented the fallen nature of man and the sin that separated man from God. The enormous dimensions of the veil symbolized that man by himself could not restore fellowship with God, and that because of the effect of sin, restoration of this relationship could only be done supernaturally, which is done through Jesus Christ. Now going on to his resurrection. His resurrection also provided benefits. Without his resurrection, he would be like any ordinary human. There is power in his resurrection. So his birth had to happen, his death had to happen, his burial had to happen, and his resurrection had to happen. Now, the first three can apply to anybody. It can apply to any religious philosopher, any religious prophet, any religious teacher. Those three first events of the birth, the birth, the death, and the burial. Right, can happen to anybody. The one thing that distinguishes or separates Jesus from all of the others out there is his resurrection. No one else has resurrected, only him. If you study the teachings of Buddhism, they don't talk about a resurrection. You look at any other religion, they don't talk about a resurrection. They talk about a birth, they talk about teaching, they talk about death, but they don't talk about a resurrection. The other things that other religions or philosophies don't touch upon is the issue of sin. Now, they'll teach you how to have a better life, how to live a better life, how to be a better person, but they never, never, ever discuss or teach on the subject of sin. And why is that? Only Christianity does that because of what Jesus did, the atonement of sin. Man hasn't figured, all other religions haven't figured it out yet, that only Jesus, by his death, can atone for sin. Okay, so what are the benefits of understanding the power of his resurrection? I came up with, there's a lot more, but we'll go through five tonight. The first one is, it signified the power of his word. If you read from the whole Bible, from the Old Testament through the New Testament, throughout the Bible by various prophets and men, other men of God, they foretold of his birth, of his death, of his burial, and of his resurrection. So the significance of his resurrection was that he honors his word, that his word never failed, that he's true to his word, that he had to resurrect from the dead in order to honor his word. So we know that the significance of the power of his word. His death and resurrection were the fulfillment of God's word. God never lies. His word always returns back to him. It doesn't return to him void or empty, but it accomplishes what he was declared to do and perform. And God always honors his word. So we want to signify the power of his word. The second is that he had to resurrect in order to go back to heaven to be with the Father, in order to be once again part of the Trinity, the Godhead Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Without his resurrection, he would still be, he wouldn't be able to go back to heaven. Now, you got to understand this. When he left heaven, he left his place of authority. He left his place of majesty to become in the flesh and dwell among us, to be like us. So he left his heavenly realm of majesty and came down to earth to humble himself, to do what God called him to do, to die on the cross to atone for our sins. His resurrection allowed him to go back to the place of glory where he can sit and seated at the right hand of the Father and become once again part of the Trinity, the Godhead Trinity. Because of this, because of his resurrection, because he is seated now at the right hand of the Father, we are also seated with him at the right hand of the Father. And because of that, we have all the benefits of him being in his rightful place of authority. So we have the power, the same power, the same authority as he has as a joint heir of Christ seated at the right hand of the Father. That's why we can say and declare, as we are in this world, so is he. Oh, is it the scripture? Yeah. As he is, so are we in this world. And we can say that because of his resurrection, because he is seated now at the right hand of the Father, back to the rightful place of majesty and authority. 3, he also sits as advocate. So Jesus sits as our advocate before the Father. Whenever Satan brings accusations against us, for he is known as the accuser of the brethren, Jesus stands as advocate to plead our case before the Father. And he can only do that because of his position where he is at the right hand of the Father. So think of it this way. Think of it like you're in a courtroom and the devil is the prosecutor. He's the bad guy. He always wants to bring in charges against you, to accuse you. Jesus is like the defense attorney where he'll plead your case and plead your innocence. And of course, God is the judge. So because of that, night and day, 24/7, Jesus is your advocate. He's sitting as your advocate, even now. 4, Jesus forever intercedes on your behalf. So when he was on earth, he prayed. He prayed for different people, prayed for the apostles, prayed for different people. He is still doing that to this day. He is still interceding as a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He is still interceding for you, even now, even as we speak. And once again, he can only do that because he is seated where his position is in heaven at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority. A good scripture to read is if you read Hebrews chapter 7, the whole chapter 7 talks about Jesus as the high priest and what the significance of the high priest is and what the duties and fulfillment of the high priest is. So very interesting and good chapter to read. His death and resurrection also allowed us to have or live victorious in this world and also gave us hope for a future with him in eternity. He was the example of what we should be on earth. When he came to earth, he lived a life as an example of what we should be and how we should live our life as believers in him. By ascending back to heaven because of his resurrection, we know that the power that he has, like I said before, we also have because we're a joint heir of him, or because we're seated, the Bible says, in heavenly places with him. So all the power that he has in heaven, we have access to that power to live a life victoriously in this world, not when we go to heaven, wait to go to heaven. So, you know, we have the power to live a life free of sickness and disease, free from poverty and lack, free from, you know, oppression and whatever, because of what our position is as believers in Christ, who is seated at the right hand of the Father. If you understand that, that can only could have happened because of his resurrection and the power of his resurrection. Knowing that he is alive and sits at the right hand of the Father also gives us hope that one day we too shall be with him in heaven for all eternity, and that the power of sin and death have no hold over us because of his death, burial, and resurrection. So his like I said, each event, his birth, his death, his burial, and his resurrection, each of those had very significant events in the life of the believer, and you need to understand the significance of each. It's the churches, I think, haven't done enough to fully explain to believers the significance and the event, what each event does for the believer in the life of a believer. And, you know, hopefully in the days to come, we'll get more into detail. But tonight, we're just covering one aspect of that, of the power of his resurrection. And that when you come and understand that when you come to celebrate his resurrection on Resurrection Sunday, it's not just an event that we celebrate, but we celebrate knowing the full impact of what that event means to you as a believer and all the powers and the benefits that he conferred upon us because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Only Christianity addresses the issue of sin, and like I said before, all sin was dealt with because of God's unconditional love for man, his creation. Only Christianity, through the birth, death, burial, and resurrection, provides a solution dealing with the issue of sin. It is through Jesus Christ and the complete work of redemption, his birth, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that he did for us, that we can have victory in this life and the life to come. That we can truly say that our God truly reigns. And for me, understanding, because I always wanted to know, you know, what is the significance of all the events that Jesus went through? Because, you know, it says that when he in his burial, that he just didn't lie there and wait. Like when he died and when he was buried, during those 3 days, he was doing things. So that's another thing that you need to understand, that the significance of when he was buried, he wasn't just sitting in the grave waiting to be resurrected. He was actually doing something, and the power of that. His birth was also fulfillment of prophecy, that event had to happen, when it happened, how it had happened, in order for him to be born and start his earthly ministry. So each event is connected, and each event is significant because it provides a benefit or benefits to you as a believer in Christ. The bottom line, again, like I said, is that Jesus came as a perfect example on how we are to live our life, in this earth, to be victorious and not be, you know, the always defeated or have the defeatist mentality. But because of where he is and the things that he did, that we can live a victorious life. And that one day, that we will be with him in heaven, and that some of us, you know, Jesus comes soon, like we think he probably is, that we won't even see death, that we'll be caught up and go to heaven. Can you imagine that? Not even seeing death. The other thing that I thought about is the scripture. This is off the subject, but where, you know, they said that greater works shall we do than him, and I was thinking, you know, what could that be? I mean, it would be kind of hard to top that. I mean, all the things that he did, what greater works are we going to do? And then the Holy Spirit quickened to me and said, well, the one thing that he couldn't do that we can do was lead somebody to him. Because until he died, until he went up, technically salvation wasn't available to man until his death. And the privilege that he entrusted, that privilege and honor that he bestowed upon us to be able to lead people to Christ, to tell them about his birth, to tell them about his lifestyle as his earthly ministry, tell them about his burial and his resurrection, the significance of that, and allowing man to have access once again to God. And to restore that fellowship. But not only that, that one day, you know, that as a believer of Christ, if you be born again, you're going to be with him in heaven for all eternity. Someone once said, it's not so much where you spend eternity, and to a certain extent, that's true, it doesn't matter. What's more important is who you're going to spend eternity with. And that's true. That's so true. Someone said, I'd rather be in hell with Jesus than in heaven without him. And that's true. If you go to heaven, he's not there. What's the point? What's the point? The point is that we get to spend eternity with him, wherever that may be. Of course, it's going to be in heaven. But that's just an awesome thing because of his resurrection. And that's one thing that the hope that we as believers can look forward to, that one day that we'll leave this earth, hopefully sometime soon, and that we will be with him in heaven for all eternity. And all eternity, that's a long time. So I hope this ministered to you guys today. I hope that kind of gave you a better understanding of his resurrection. I know for me, when I did the study, because I never always wondered, you know, what, like I said, what is the significance of each event, especially his burial and his resurrection? We always been thought about his death, you know, and the significance of his death. But what about his burial and what about his resurrection? And why is that so important to us as believers? There's so much more in this, but hopefully tonight gave you a little bit more to think about and greater appreciation for what he did on the cross, not only his death, not only his burial, but his resurrection. Father, we just thank you for this time, Lord. Thank you for that word. Allow that word to once again, Lord God, sink deep and to grow roots, Lord, and to bring forth fruit. And in the days to come, Lord, we will be challenged, Lord, more to more be more like you, Lord, and to reach out to this lost and dying world, Lord God, to tell them, Lord God, of the redemption of you, of man back to you, Lord, and the restored relationship that we can have with you, Lord. Pray, Lord God, that you burn within our hearts, Lord, a burden for the lost, Lord God. Lord, we begin to do your work, Lord, according to your word, Lord God, the great commission that you commanded us, Lord, to go out, Lord God, to preach the gospel, Lord, and to make disciples of all men. And we thank you, Lord, we give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord, the power and dominion do unto your precious name. We ask these things in the name of Jesus.